Good to have you with us at KCRW. I'm Matt Gillum. Welcome back to This Week in Weed. Let's take a quick trip into what could be the not-too-distant future. You go to your favorite dispensary. At the counter, you buy a pre-roll and a cup of coffee. Then, joint and Java in hand, you sit down and catch up with your buddy as that local singer-songwriter you heard about performs. A perfect afternoon, right? That hypothetical could be reality soon. A bill making its way through Sacramento would allow marijuana retailers to serve coffee and food and host live music. Here to talk about it and some other efforts to change cannabis commerce is Leafly Senior Editor David Downs. Hey, David.
Hey, Matt.
All right, so this bill in the state assembly would basically add a touch of Amsterdam to California by opening the door for pot purveyors in the state to serve food, soft drinks, and host events. Now, I know we already have cannabis lounges, so how dramatically would this change the landscape?
It would just make it more civil. It sounds like such a nice experience. Let stoners get together, smoke, eat, and listen to music. We're doing it anyway. Why can't we have the freedom of assembly post-prohibition to do it in a licensed facility? So we're talking about Assembly Bill 374 from Assemblymember Haney. You know, we voted on Prop 64 in 2016, and we've had sales since 2018, and it's 2023, 7 years since legalization. And for example, the city of Los Angeles hasn't licensed a single public consumption lounge. I just call them weed lounges because consumption sounds like tuberculosis to me. But you can't go anywhere and smoke cannabis legally in the city of LA. If you have an apartment and you can't do it there, you're not supposed to be doing it on the street. Obviously, they're not enforcing that law. But, you know, activists and industry is saying it's weird that you can go to a bar and get a burger and listen to a band. But like the laws right now specifically preclude making a grilled cheese sandwich and serving it to someone in a cannabis lounge. Just for context, there are maybe 24 lounges licensed in California. You need to have a local license, not a state license, for that consumption lounge. And that requires some regulatory innovation. So there's very few cities 7 years after voters approved this law that have taken that step to allow consumption lounges. Most of them are in San Francisco. There's a smattering around the Bay Area. And down in SoCal, West Hollywood is really leading the charge with regard to the ability to get together and smoke a little bit and eat.
Well, let's talk a little bit about Haney's bill. Have you heard from retailers about the possible change? I mean, it seems like it would mean more work for them, but it could also mean more business and a chance to sort of become a local venue or hub in the area, I would imagine.
Yep, I was kicking it at the Mo Greens Lounge on Market Street in San Francisco, and they are really hoping for the rules to lighten up a little bit. They're dying to get people back in the door as the city itself kind of tries to restart the downtown core post-COVID and work from home. They have a really nice facility, and you can smoke all the wonderful pot there, but if you want anything more than a drink of water, you're going to have to go to another spot. And so, yeah, most retailers with lounges or aspiring to have lounges are looking at this bill as a potential bright spot in an otherwise turbulent, volatile year for cannabis in general.
Now, Haney's made a point of ensuring it wouldn't force new regulations on local governments. Food permits, things like that would be left up to cities and counties. Do you think that would actually happen, or is this just an invitation for miles of red tape?
The latter. So it costs like $150,000 to get a commercial kitchen certified, permitted, and built in like a bar, for example. This is just the state saying it's possible. You're still going to need a bunch of local action and arm twisting to make it happen. And the reason why we haven't started with the ability to have food or fun at lounges yet is because we've been really incremental about legalization.
All right. Well, bottom line, is the Amsterdam and California bill going to pass this year or not?
It's going to get a hefty debate, and the winds of, like, there's a spirit of progress that's in the air about optimizing legalization, but the headwinds are out there too.
All right. Well, something we've chatted about before is selling weed across state lines, and I hear some California officials are making moves to bring that closer to reality. What can you tell us on this front?
Yeah, we got a turn of the screw bit of news for people who are bird-dogging interstate commerce and the ability for California to sell its excess cannabis crop into other markets. On January 27th, the Department of Cannabis Control, you know, the regulators for the biggest legal weed market on the planet, asked the state attorney general to give them a written opinion that the state would bear little to no legal risk for authorizing agreements between states to do interstate legal cannabis commerce. So this is something that the DCC needs to get from the AG in order for Senate Bill 1326, which went live on January 1st, 2023, to again allow the creation of a controlled way to ship cannabis across borders. And this puts California at the front of the pack in terms of the interstate commerce discussion. But this is some pretty advanced legal thinking in untested waters in pursuit of further reform. And I do think this is going to drive things to a head with the federal government. And the general thrust of things in America is that states go first. It would be poetic if the same Commerce Clause that put pot growers in jail enabled states to trade in marijuana.
Well, I mean, the fact California's Department of Cannabis Control is doing this feels like a tectonic shift. Am I wrong for thinking that?
Again, yeah, I mean, think about how far we've come. We have 21 legal cannabis states now, including Guam and D.C. In California, it's a $6 billion a year legal business, and it might be 3 to 4 times bigger on the illegal side. In the country, it's a $60 billion U.S. business, and California is the number one supplier of pot on the illicit market since the 80s. And here we have the number one regulator saying, we want you, Attorney General, to tell us it's fine. It's going to be fine. The feds aren't going to sue or prosecute the state of California for authorizing weed shipments. Give us the green light to go out and work on this a little bit more. I think that is a pretty big move.
Well, let's just say the stars align and everything works out. The state isn't in significant legal jeopardy doing interstate commerce. Who are we going to partner with? And frankly, why? I mean, you've said so many times that we have the gold standard of weed.
It's going to be tricky. So a lot of the states have their own silos, which might be labeled discriminatory and unconstitutional because the U.S. Constitution has the Commerce Clause, which specifically bars states from discriminating against interstate commerce. Like, interstate commerce is going to upset a lot of apple carts and a lot of interests in other states where they're trying to control their market and benefit their farmers. But what it is a huge boon to consumers in terms of more choice and lower prices, which is naturally what happens with free trade. It also might be a lifeline to growers here in California where outdoor pounds are at $500 or $600. They might be able to sell those pounds wholesale for double that or triple that in other markets. But it's going to be a real incremental, years-long approach, mostly, you know, handled in headlines and letters. Meanwhile, thousands of tons of actual marijuana is going to continue to be trafficked out of the state on the illicit side.
We've been talking cannabis commerce with Leafly senior editor David Downs. Thanks for coming on, David.
Thanks, Matt.